We are glad you're here today. And I want to talk a little bit today about sharpening our life. You can't cut a whole lot with a dull knife, right? Come on. Yeah. And you can't do a whole lot with a dull life. And many people are kind of in a dull spot in their life. And today we're going to talk about how to get our joy back so that we can do the great things that God has in store for us to do. If you have your Bibles with you today, I'm going to invite you to open it up to John chapter 15, and we're going to look at a story that Jesus told his followers before he went to the cross, because he wanted them to live life and live it to the full, be everything that God had created them to be. So Jesus had come from heaven to earth. He had come into the earth. He had taught these early students or disciples, and he wanted them to produce things with their life. He wanted them to do something significant with their life. And I don't know if you know it or not, but God's created you to do significant things with your life too. And the world around us oftentimes tells us what to produce with our life or what not to produce with our life. And we're going to go to God's word today, and we're going to learn that God has created us for a significant purpose, and he wants us to do amazing things with our life and have a life filled with joy. Now, oftentimes things come into our life and it begins to suck the joy out of us. And, you know, I've had weeks and months and days where that's happened to me, where I just don't feel like I have a sense of joy. And whenever I get to that place in my life, I oftentimes go back to God's word, and I begin to just read God's word so that I can be filled with great joy again. Because oftentimes the circumstances of life, the challenges of life, suck that joy out of us. And if we're not careful, that begins to rub off on the people around us. You know, activity breeds activity. Negativity breeds negativity. And I want to encourage you today that God is looking for a church that is filled with positivity. Amen. He is looking for a church that is filled with abundance. He is looking for a church that reaches into this world where everything seems to be going to hell in a handbasket. And he says, what I want you to do is I want you to lift the world out of that spot and do something amazing in this earth. And Jesus says this in John 15, verse 11. He tells the disciples, he says, I've told you these things. Now, I don't know if when you read words like that in the scripture, I don't know what it does to you, but if Jesus says, I've told you these things, I want to know what things he told somebody. He says, I've told you these things so that. That's a purpose clause, so that. Everybody say, so that. So Jesus here in this passage says, I've just told you something so that you will be filled with my joy. He says, and your joy will overflow. So Jesus says, I just told you something so that you can be filled with my joy, and then your joy can overflow into the world. And so let's look back at what Jesus just said or just told this group of people so that his joy could get in their heart and their joy could overflow. Because oftentimes whenever dullness comes into our life, I do think there's a pathway back to joy if we'll just go to God's word and see what God's word has to say about being filled with joy. So I don't know where you are today. Maybe you came in here and you're a little dull, okay? Maybe things aren't just going the way you want them to go. Maybe something has happened in your life over the last several months, the last year, the last week, and it can begin to suck the joy out of you. Well, today, I do believe there's a pathway back to regaining that joy so that the joy of God can overflow out of your life. And so let's look and see what Jesus says here in John chapter 15. We'll begin with verse 1. As we read this passage, this is what he says. He says, I am the true grapevine, and the Father in heaven is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. He tells these disciples, he says, you have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. And then he continues on and he says, now, Remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, and he says, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, he says, you can do nothing. He's referring to doing anything for the kingdom. He says, anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch that withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples, my true students, my true followers. When you do what? When you produce some fruit? No. He says, when you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. In other words, he's looking for something that will overflow. He's looking for something that will produce. He says, this brings great glory to my Father. He says, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love, and when you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obeyed the Father's commandments and remain in his love. So I want to take a few minutes and I want to talk about these 10 verses that lead to verse 11 that we read to begin with, about having God's joy and that joy overflowing in my life. Because I think there's a series of questions that you need to ask yourself today. I didn't say turn to the person next to you and ask them these questions. If your life doesn't have joy overflowing out of it right now, God-sized joy, then ask yourself a few questions. And the first one is this: what am I connected to? Because what I'm connected to has a lot to say about what flows out of my life.
That's right. Amen.
Jesus said it this way. He says, where your heart is, he says in Matthew 6, your treasure will be also. Amen. He says, what your heart, what the core of you is connected to is really what you treasure in life. In other words, what I treasure in life, he says, my heart will be connected to it. And so I have to ask myself the question, am I connecting or am I remaining in Jesus on a continual basis? Because Jesus says the secret to producing joy out of our life is remaining in him and staying connected to him as the source. So I have to ask myself the question, how often am I really connecting to God through Christ Jesus? And I invite you to ask yourself that question too. A lot of people call it spiritual disciplines. In other words, am I reading God's word on a regular basis? Am I going to God in prayer often? Am I seeking the will of God in my life? Am I connecting to his family, the local church? Because see, these are the connection points that begins to allow God to flow in our life and flow through our life. And if anything is causing you to be disconnected from God, I gotta declare to you, God has not moved anywhere. Just other things in you have begun to take over your life, and maybe you need to get back to connecting with the life source that gives you joy. See, Jesus says, I am the true vine. He's referring here back to an analogy that God often used with a group of people that he brought out of slavery. God brought the Hebrew people out of Egyptian slavery. They've been there for 400 years. And God says, I'm going to take you into a fertile land that I am giving you. And I'm going to plant you down there, and you're going to become like a vine. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to produce things in you. And when I produce things in you, then they need to flow out of you.
Amen.
And it needs to be like rivers. It needs to be like a fruitful vine, something that brings influence to the culture that it touches. See, again, if we're connecting to Jesus, that means we have powerful influence. God's created the church to have influence in the world. to connect to him and then bring joy into the world, have influence, God-sized joy in the world, to take things that are beat down and then begin to lift them up and inspire them with who God is and what God's provided in their heart and in their life. Amen. See, joy is to overflow out of our life. Amen. And God is always desired to be the one who is the provider, the one who makes the provision. And if you don't have God's provisions in your life, I gotta ask you, what are you connecting to? Because God is the provider. He's always desired to be the provider. He desired to be the provider in the garden with Adam and Eve. He desired to be the provider for the nation, the Hebrew people, as they came out of Egypt. He says, man, I'm going to bring you out with my strong arm. I'm going to place you in a land where I'm going to provide everything you need. It was called the land of milk and honey, a land that's overflowing, a land that has anything a human being could ever need on this planet. And what I'm going to do when I produce that, when I give you the tangible and the intangible blessings of life, what those things are to do is they need to flow in your life and flow through your life. And they need to touch the other nations of the world is what God tells the nation of Israel. Can I tell you, the plan hasn't changed. When God's strong arm reaches in and brings someone out of bondage or slavery, and he places them in his family, he grafts them into the vine. What we are to do is we are to connect with the source and let him continually flow in our life and flow through our life into the world. And so I have to ask myself oftentimes, what am I really connecting to? Am I connecting to God or am I connecting to something else? See, the reason, you know what, Pastor Richard put up all these fabulous tents along with Michelle and some other people today right out front is so you could connect. We decided, you know, hey, we want to get some connection points here at Valorous Church. We don't want people just to show up and enjoy the show, but we want them to connect to the life source of the show. Amen. We want them to connect to the family of God, connect to God himself. Did you know that's why we gather together every single weekend as a people? Is so that together we can connect to God. God does supernatural things when his body comes together and every gift shows up and does something together. God shows up and produces something out of that body. But see, if the body is suffering, what that means is there's some part not connecting. I wonder if it's your part. I wonder if you need to connect to the divine source so the church can produce the greatness that God desires for it to produce. See, Jesus says, I'll give you joy so that your joy overflows. But at the end of the day, Jesus says in this passage several times, if you're going to overflow with joy, you got to remain in me. You got to connect to me. May we never forget that as a church, is as we connect with the world around us, connect with our community, do incredible things for God, may we never lose the connection to the life source that provides for us to do everything we do. Amen. See, this is what happened to the nation of Israel. They were God's chosen vine that he reached into bondage and brought out of slavery into this promised land. They were his chosen vine, and he put them there so that they would produce. And God provided, made them a luscious, incredible, as he used the analogy, of a vine with incredible fruit on it. But what they began to do is they began to indulge in the fruit instead of let the fruit flow through them. In other words, that they begin to hang on to the blessing instead of let the blessor bless them so that they could continue to be a blessing. See, there's nothing wrong with blessing. I want God's blessing. But if I just take and I hoard it, And I begin to hold on to it for just myself. And I don't use it to expand his territory or his influence in the world. Then the Bible says that God comes in that particular scenario and he takes the blessing away. He uproots the vine. He says, you forgot what the vine is all about. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to come in. I'm going to allow the vine to die. Do you feel like your life is dying today? Because if it is, I need you to know that if you connect it to the life source, it can begin to sprout again. It can begin to produce again. We call it in God's word or the vernacular of the church, it's called repent. Turn back to God. Turn away from doing life just the way you think it should be done and turn back to the life source. Remain in him, connect to him. Don't just connect to Jesus one time through a prayer when you say that you're 8 years old. No, connect to him on a daily basis. Connect to him forever and ever and ever. Connect to him often. Connect to him, read his word. Connect to him, get involved with his church. Connect to him, start praying to him, talking to him, and letting him do amazing things in your life. People often ask me, am I praying for you? Yes, we pray for believers all the time, everywhere. And again, but can I tell you something? I'm oftentimes praying for myself too. That I would keep a soft heart. In the modern day vernacular, we say you need thick skin and a soft heart. Well, oftentimes when you get involved in God's work, what happens is your heart becomes hard. And your skin becomes soft. In other words, you begin to let the influence of other people and what they say about you soften you, and you harden your heart towards God. Where you need to be listening to the word of God, you need to become an influence on other people. It's very difficult, but Jesus knew it. He said, this is why you need to remain. You need to stay connected. The next thing I need to ask myself, the question, well, if I'm connected to Jesus, he says, I'm connecting to him so that I may produce much fruit. He says it that way in John 15, verse 2. He says, you need to remain in me so you can produce much fruit. So what is the fruit? Well, the fruit of an apple tree is what? An apple. The fruit of an orange tree is a lemon. No. It's an orange, and again, what Jesus is saying is you need to produce much fruit. And so the fruit of a Christ follower is what? It's to be an image bearer of the one it's following, to be like Christ. That's what the word Christian really is. I'm a little Jesus. I'm a little Christ. It's not a religion. It means I have come underneath the authority and I'm little compared to the big. And I'm gonna take my little Christ and I'm gonna put it on daily and I'm gonna do my best to look like the big orange, to become a fruit. Overflow with being like Jesus. When's the last time you really looked at the heart of Jesus? He's passionate. He's compassionate. He's not soft. He's very direct. He's very stern. He's very focused. And he knew why he came into this earth, and it was to save people from their sin. And he had compassion on people. He met people where they were. He stepped into their life, and he began to lead them out of that life. He wasn't afraid. He wasn't afraid of what was around him. My friend, he produced. And I got to ask you today, if your life seems dull, what are you producing? Are you getting up, going to work, going to bed at night, getting up the next day and doing the same thing over and over and over without no fruit coming out of your life. My friend, that is not God's plan for your life. God is a rhythmic life. But he puts opportunities in front of you and me daily. If we would just open our eyes and see the opportunity for us to produce. Are you connecting to Jesus? Are there more Christ followers coming into the family as a result of what you're producing with your life? See, the church is to grow numerically. Numerically, over and over and over again. And really what brings joy is when we see people, we don't just get excited because we go down and have a big party at the beach and do baptisms. When people literally say, my life has been changed. Jesus came into my life and I've died to the old way of life. And I've been raised to new life in Christ Jesus to move forward with this new life in Christ Jesus. It's something to get excited about. It should remind you of when you made a decision to follow Christ by faith yourself. See, baptism is an outward sign of an inward change. And really, I get excited about people showing up over and over and over again, the new people coming. And again, I'm excited when people move here and they become a part of God's family and they join in with their various gifts and together we can reach out to the community and it's awesome. But when somebody turns their life around, in other words, they come out of darkness and they step into the wonderful light and they put their faith in Jesus Christ. Man, I can get excited about that. Amen. I can get excited about new life in Christ Jesus. Because that's what production does. When the auditorium begins to fill up, people are like, man, you like big crowds. Absolutely. I love them. Because what it means is more people are coming into the kingdom. And they're overflowing with what God's doing in their life. It's always about reaching another person. Yeah, yeah. It's always about stepping in and doing something else in somebody else's life. Yes, the church is to make disciples, but you can't make a disciple until there's a student that shows up to the camp. It's really important. The outreach arm of the church should be strong and courageous. And I don't mean just benevolence stuff. I'm talking about the believers in here that have been transformed by the power of God. Going out in the world and living it out in their life, in their business, in the schools, in their neighborhoods, in their jobs. And they're not influenced by the things that are entering from the world, but they bring influence on their culture. I believe you have the power to walk in a room and change everything. Mr. Eddie, you have the power because you're a Christ follower to show up, you know, on the job site where there's many lost people, and you have the power to step on that and influence that job site. It may be one way when you get there, but it's different when you leave because you showed up. Come on, somebody. Do you see that kind of production coming out of your life? Because you walked in the room, everything changed. See, that's the kind of influence that God's talking about with the power of God in you. It doesn't make us some super being. It just means I have a different countenance. I have a different swag. And when I walk into a room, you know what people say? You know what? That something just showed up. They may not know what it is, but something just showed up. I can get in the elevator and the countenance of the elevator can change. And again, it's not because, you know what, I'm some rude and 6'6", you know, really hard looking guy with a bunch of wrinkles on my forehead. It's not why it changes. Usually it changes in my elevator because my dog gets in there. It's amazing to me how many people like dogs. And I'm like, well, why don't you like me? I'm not going to bite you. And see, oftentimes it's because of the other person's heart is so hard. And it's so broken. And it's so skeptical. And it's so scared. All you have to do to change it is be real, step in, and produce the life that God called you to produce. Let's be real. We don't have to be plastic Christians. We don't have to be prototypes. No, we got to be the variety that God created us to be, but we all have the same attitude as Christ Jesus, and we're little Christ followers, and we become little Christians. We're to produce. Our Lord isn't a political party. Our Lord isn't a race. Our Lord isn't an economic status. Our Lord is Jesus Christ, who stepped in the middle of all of that and flipped it all upside down, and he became the authority, and he's our Lord. Why don't you start doing the same? You want to see the world change? Then it starts with you. I will say this. Look at your neighbor and say, if you're a Christ follower, it starts with you. Go ahead and tell them that. It starts with you. See, the question for us all is, if we're not experiencing the joy of the Lord, then are we connecting? And are we connecting? And are we allowing God to flow in our life and through our life? Am I connecting? Am I participating, or am I producing? The last thing I wrote down is this, and this is the hard one. I have to ask myself this question: do I need a trim? I'm not talking about a haircut. And some of you in here don't need that kind of trim. You didn't get it. You're aging and balding. But do I need to allow some things to be pruned out of my life? See, a loving father prunes. And I don't know, I was a gardener before I became a preacher. In other words, I operated a landscape business and a retail garden center for many, many years. I grew up from a farming background. So I understand the analogies of pruning and how powerful it is. And I don't know if you know or not, but there's some beautiful trees that are blooming around our city right now. And they're called crepe myrtles. Isn't that an interesting name? Myrtle Beach, crepe myrtle, I don't know. Anyway, but they're blooming everywhere. Oftentimes they're white with big blooms on them. Sometimes they're kind of a watermelon color. Sometimes they're kind of red. And people are fascinated that when the blooms come on, then all of a sudden the blooms start falling off and these little hard seed pods get on the end of the crepe myrtle, okay? And I don't know if you know it or not, but you don't have to wait till next year for that thing to bloom again. You can make crepe myrtles bloom more than once in a season. And how you do it is you go in and you prune off that new growth, that bloom, and you prune it back into the woody stem. Then it produces a little bit more shoots out, and then new growth starts again, and a new bloom will come on that crepe myrtle. And you can see it come again. Okay? And oftentimes we as Christ followers, those who belong to God, we need some things trimmed out of our life so we can bloom again, so we can produce again. And sometimes God gets a little hand trimmer out, like Pastor Rich is, those little dinky trimmers that he uses to prune his little plants out there on the front. You ever seen him doing it? I'm like, Richard, what are you doing? You got a pair of scissors out there pruning the plants. I'm like, here, take this. I crank up my chainsaw. Do it with this, you know what I'm saying? But in all reality, sometimes God's got to get the little snips out. Sometimes he's got to get the lopping shears out. And sometimes he's got to get the chainsaw out and whack you back. And my friend, if you've been whacked back today, I need you to know it ain't over. That God is for you, he is not against you. And sometimes when our heart becomes hard, God has to get deep down inside of that heart, and he has to prune it back, because honestly, God's vision for your life is something to flow in and flow out and flow through your life. And so God won't let you become hard. He'll just prune you. He'll just prune and prune and prune and prune until something comes out of you. And so I got to ask you today, what is overtaking your life so the joy of the Lord can't flow through your life? In our culture, sometimes it's just busyness. Busyness or apathy. Just, oh, what the heck? What does it matter? What does she really matter? What does he really matter? I mean, it's too far gone. Really? Is your heart becoming that hard? Because what God says is no. I want the joy of the Lord to flow out of your life. I don't know, want you to become a hard-hearted person because of the things going on. And I'm telling you right now, sometimes the more we grow as Christians, the more we see in this life, the harder or the easier it is to become a hard-hearted person. I'm inviting you to keep a ministry heart. In other words, be willing to be vulnerable. Be willing to stick it out, you know, in front of people and allow it to be stepped on occasionally. Because the reality of it is this, is we have to be that way. Pride will begin to make us want to hide. Pride will begin to make us get hard. When we think, you know, it's us producing it and we forget that God's producing it, it'll cause all kinds of things to happen in our life and God will come in and prune. See, God disciplines those he loves. And if you're under God's discipline right now, you know, it doesn't mean God doesn't love you. It just may mean that he's trying to trim some things out so some new growth can come in and joy can overflow again. And I really do believe in the church at large that that's what God's doing. God's pruning on a continual basis. He's trimming up stuff. He's trimming out all kinds of things so that his provision can flow in and flow through and do amazing things in this world. And so I'm inviting you today to really consider, do you have the joy of the Lord flowing through you? And if you don't, Maybe really go to the Lord and begin to ask him those three questions. What am I connecting to? What am I pruning? Or what needs to be trimmed out of my life? And what am I producing with my life? Because those are three important questions in order to have the joy of the Lord flowing out of your life. Let me pray for you today. God, you're an amazing, amazing God. And Jesus, I thank you for being the true vine, the one that is connected, the one that God can flow through and build incredible branches out of. God, I pray we would each be a powerful branch that produces much fruit. We would be your disciples. And God, you would flow in us and flow through us. God, I pray for the connection points. The connection points that we have out in front of this facility, all of those tents where people can serve, where they can volunteer, God, where they can connect to groups, where they can connect to Jesus, they can connect to prayer, God, they can connect to our family ministries. God, I pray that they wouldn't just walk by those particular places with those people standing there, but God, they would go up to them and they would make it a point to connect to your family that's connecting to Jesus. And God, I pray that we wouldn't just put our name on a piece of paper, or connect to a life group, or connect to a service opportunity, but God, we would truly get involved and produce with our life. And that God, we would see you do the simple, amazing. And God, as you prune things out and put new things in, God, help us recognize it's your power. And God, it's your provision. And God, I pray we would embrace those things. And God, we would be humble with the gifts you have given us. And we bring them to the table. We'd let you use us fully. God, you want to bless us, but God, you ask us to be a blessing. So God, I pray we would submit to your authority. We would come underneath your rule and reign. And God, you would flow in and flow out. God, I pray for the one who hasn't put faith in you today. God, let them understand it starts with a connection that they make to you through Christ Jesus. He is the provision you gave humanity for the sin, for missing the mark of your glorious standard. God, I pray today if there's one here that hasn't put faith in him and connected to you through him, that today would be the day of their salvation. And that, God, you would move in and your Holy Spirit would take over. And, God, you would produce and produce and produce in their life and through their life as they continually connect to you. Jesus, thank you for being the true vine. And we're going to stay and remain in you. And we pray this prayer in your holy and precious name. Amen. Amen.